Welcome back to Formation, and we are happy to see you. Here I am with my colleagues, Kara Watts, Shannon Moore. Between the three of us, we can always find something to disagree about, yes?
Or agree as well.
This series, we're looking at a book that we really like, Bible Stories for Grown-Ups. The author is Josh Scott, who's a pastor, has small children, and I think as he became a father and began to look at what story books said about difficult stories, especially in Hebrew scriptures, he went back and said, there are some stories here that may appear with wonderful illustrations for children that adults need to examine completely. And so today's story, if you think we might not be talking about a challenging story, today's story is the story of Abraham walking up the mountain with his son Isaac to sacrifice Isaac because God asked him to do that. I think it's one of the most difficult stories in Scripture for me.
Me too.
And I had,
just to tell you all, I was in an adult Bible study group. We got to this story. Everybody, you could just feel the group, all moms, kind of take a deep sigh as we got ready to read it. And one of the women there who loves the Bible and had children at that point and now has grandchildren as well said, this is my favorite story. And we all said, you know, this story is so painful. How can that be? And she said, because it's a story that God will provide. And I heard, and now I think about her again, I heard in her voice, that was how the story was told to her. It wasn't the story of the binding of Isaac. It was God will provide. That was the title of the story. And so let's talk about how she got to that as the theme. Let's turn in Genesis 22. Who's reading first, Shannon? You are. Genesis 22, beginning of the chapter.
And, first eight verses.
First eight verses. Let's hear it.
After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship. Then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, father, and he said, here I am, my son. He said, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together.
Why is it that God is asking this of Abraham? What's the explanation?
To prove himself. All of this is going to happen. But God wants Abraham to prove that he is faithful.
To test him.
To test him.
After he's waited this long time for this.
Think how long Abraham and Sarah waited.
Yeah. That is the most painful part of this story.
Is that the way God operates?
That is not how I understand God. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, there's so many awful things in the story, but for me that the testing to put your child in harm's way in such a way that you are at your own hand in order to prove your faithfulness to God is a really hard thing for me to wrap my brain around.
And the author even highlights in the chapter how Abraham tells the servant that we'll be back. We're going over here, we'll be back. So as he's lying, if he's going to do what he says he's going to do, but he's keeping it hidden, mm-hmm. from everybody. Mm-hmm. Just a rough story.
I want to read just one paragraph in Josh's book. So Josh tells us at the beginning of the chapter that his daughter came in, I think she's 6 years old, climbed in his lap with a Bible storybook, and said, "Daddy, read me this story." And the book was opened to a picture of Abraham standing over Isaac laying on the altar, Abraham with a knife in his hand. And he said, "Honey, I think we're going to need a different story. I think this one may be a little bit too grown up for you." But listen to what Josh says as a dad, as a pastor, Abraham listening to God's voice, God who had called him before, sent him to a place that he didn't know. So Abraham had already demonstrated a lot of obedience. This time, Josh writes, however, the voice comes with the intent to test Abraham. "Does that feel off to you?" Josh asks. God testing people? Again, this story just raises a lot of questions for me. Doesn't God already know what we will do? Are we like mice in a lab with God running experiments to see how we will respond in any given situation? It's even more confusing when we realize that the word being translated as test can also be translated as tempt. God tempted Abraham becomes even more troublesome for me. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I was really disturbed when I read that part.
Yes.
But, I mean, there are other examples of that too.
Because when you back it up and look at what would that temptation be, it is, if you do this, I mean, Abraham is waiting for all of this to be provided, you know, these generations, and if that could only happen, and if he's tempted to, you know, kill his child, to sacrifice his child in order to get that's painful also.
What do you think about the way the story is told, too? That adds to the tension, doesn't it, here? They're just
a lot of drama.
Yeah.
And long walks and 3 days worth and avoiding the conversation and then when and this is also used, I think we talked about in the last session, how we often lay the Christ story on top of these Old Testament stories where he carried his own wood for, mm-hmm. you know, Isaac carried the wood for his own sacrifice, and that's a big parallel that people make between the story and the story of Jesus.
Right.
But if we're sticking with this, it's still to be careful not to do that. But it's still powerfully sad for him to be doing that.
He seems to be walking along very obediently. Poor Isaac having to carry the wood that he's going to be sacrificed. It's just even more difficult story than I remember the last time I read it. Let's take a little break and then we'll get to the second half of the story. The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God's doing in the world. We invite you to join us on Sunday morning for worship. Traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11. Simple worship in the chapel at 9:30. Visit our 1010 service in Walker Hall. We're a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize that we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on the faith journey. We seek to practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Explore our programs and upcoming events at www.universitychristian.org. Don't forget to stay connected with us on social media. So we're back now at this very tense moment in this story. Abraham moving forward obediently, Isaac doing as his father told him to do, and we get to the top of the mountain. I just think if I was Isaac, I would have been praying all 3 days, every step of that journey. Please don't make me do this. Please don't make me do this. Do you think about, as a parent, just hoping somehow this isn't going to be what I think it's going to be?
And even Abraham, I mean, even Isaac is like, what's going on?
Yeah, he recognizes that something's up.
Why don't we have a...
Yeah, and for
something for the offering.
Yeah. All the way, continuing.
Until read the next two verses.
When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son.
Now, at this point, we're going to pause for a minute. At this point, this is the illustration that you put into a children's Bible story book. So tell us about your terrible book.
Well, if you watched last week's episode, I showed you this blue Bible story book that was such a big part of my childhood Christian education.
And you said when you went to the dentist, these books were there?
Yeah, dentist, doctor's office, they were sort of everywhere in my circle.
Sort of an evangelism tool.
I think so. I mean, this story takes a lot of liberties with the story. For instance, in this one, it says that perhaps God was going to raise Isaac from the dead after he was...
Just trying to, the same sort of please don't make this happen attitude, right?
Yeah, and then it also, you know, Isaac could have resisted. He could have overpowered his old father and run for his life, but he didn't. He understood it was God's will.
He could have knocked his father over and ran away.
But this is another vivid picture that I have in my memory bank of the story of this boy.
Helpless boy.
Tied and his father knife raised to him. I mean, disturbing.
This one is from about 1980 in this children's Bible. What I find most interesting is Abraham has his hand over the face of Isaac.
Because
He cannot bear to look. And
it almost seems in your picture that Isaac might be trying to get free. Doesn't it look like Isaac?
Right.
Isaac's a little bit older in your picture, too.
And for me, the other part of the story, you know, the binding of Isaac, this boy, young man who walked all the way is now going to be bound for, I don't know. It's just such an interesting aspect of the story as well. And this looks like maybe his arms are not as, but that his feet, he maybe could go somewhere in this artist's interpretation. It is a painful story. And so
imagine, think of all of the parents trying to make the Bible familiar to children who get to pages in these books. And
yes.
I mean, that's not right. Explainable.
Right. And I think we just move over it so quickly.
Yeah.
Because, but it all worked out okay because look, there's a ram in the picture
exactly.
In the corner too. Yay! Well,
let's finish the story and then we'll talk about does that undo the beginning of the story when you get to the happy ending.
But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you. And I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba.
The Lord will provide. That's what my friend said in Bible study. Oh, that's the Lord will provide. And we could remember the outcome and not trouble ourselves with the whole...
The problematic...
Right. Yes.
What? First part.
What God had set up and intended to take place. Now, of course, we have to say that God knew that there was going to be a ram caught in the bushes, right?
Yeah.
That God never intended for Abraham to sacrifice his son, but Abraham and Isaac didn't know that for 3 days.
Right.
Do you think God didn't intend it?
The more I look at the story, not that I think that God intended for that to happen, but God put them in that place that it was a temptation. It was a test. It was, I don't, it's hard to say, I think God maybe intended. I don't think that that's the case, but I do think that when we look at this, we have to really grapple with
what it says.
What is God doing in the midst of this?
And I think about people we see on the news who harm their children because, quote unquote, God told them to, and we don't see them as a hero of the Bible because they did what they followed God's command. We recognize they need help.
Now, the author of the book explains something interesting here, that there is a seam. If you're a seamstress, there's a seam in the middle of the story. We know that there are four different sources that contribute to the first five books of Hebrew scripture, which are known as the law. And each of those contributors, we can recognize where they're being, where they're entering the story because of the name for God. So at the first half of the story, on the way up the mountain, the name for God is
Elohim,
right? Which is that Elohim, right? Mm-hmm. And then now, in depending on your translation, what does your translation say? The name changes right at the moment.
Angel of the Lord.
The angel of the Lord.
Lord in all caps, which is Yahweh. Right.
Which is Yahweh, which is too sacred to be said, and so Lord, capital LORD. Is the substitution for Yahweh. So it shifts. The name for God on the way up the mountain is Elohim. And right at the time, no, Abraham, don't do this. That's a different name for God, a different source. Which is really interesting for me to think about. Two stories, perhaps two versions of the story that got glued together, sewed together right in the middle. And the action that happens that gives us a positive outcome is one source. And the source that this is a test to see if Abraham, what do you think about that detail as you think about the story?
I think we're very lucky we got the second other source.
I think it's very helpful. And he, you know, the author explains that, you know, we don't know. I mean, Abraham was growing up in these lands, moving and in places where he might not have been
before he answered God's call. He was
there probably, you know, many other gods,
had many gods, small g, and so he has that as a background, which to me always seems more brutal, the human sacrifice, the, you know, that part of it, the other religions existing at the time. Then he agrees to follow where God is sending him. And so Abraham's faith, Abraham's understanding of who God is evolving continually. Right. Our understanding of God across a lifetime evolves, right? We can understand that. And a lot of times it is a very difficult situation. Those seem to be the seams in our own life where we begin to go, wait a minute, that's not God doing that. And right, we've all had those experiences as well. So we can understand this evolving sense. That's why Josh titles this story, A New Vision of God. Maybe Abraham was able to see God more clearly at the end of the story. That doesn't help you?
No.
That helps me a little bit.
I mean,
it does.
I appreciate it. I can't think of a way to reconcile the story. There's no, for me, way. I mean, I imagine the trauma of Isaac, having lived through his father about to kill him. I just can't find any reconciliation.
Sometimes when I'm trying to think of a different angle, I think, now what would have happened if Abraham comes off that mountain without Isaac? Right. What would Sarah have done to Abraham? Can you imagine this couple that have waited 100 years to have a child? Oh my gosh.
I took preaching from Joey Jeter at Bright Divinity School, and the late, great Joey Jeter. And I remember somebody preached this text, and At the end of it, he said, congratulations, you've done something I've never done. Never preached this text. Can't do it.
Did you hear, and so you heard the sermon on the text? Did it work?
I mean, it's this. I mean, it's,
yeah, it's
you
what
know,
it
God
is.
Provides its...
No help.
But the, I just, that does not satisfy me. And
I need to say one more thing. Another woman that was also in the Bible study group, I knew her later this, she understood the story. Her only son at the age of 19 died in a terrible car accident. And she understood, even with a lot of work in therapy, that happened because she loved her son too much. And this story and a more fundamentalist upbringing framed, when that happened in her life, this was the story that came to mind. And her need to ask God's forgiveness for loving her son too much. At
that
a time.
Just breaks my heart. That's awful.
So these stories.
This is a hard story. There's just no way around it, no matter how it ends.
Can we just skip it again? Let's just go back to skipping it. No.
We have a much happier story for the next episode. We're going to talk about the story of Jonah, and the title that our author has given it is It's Not About the Fish. So we hope you'll join us for that. We hope you'll be in touch with us and let us know how you struggle with the story. You can reach all three of us at formation@ucccftw.com. We'll see you next time.
Take care.